On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hello there. Hi. Let's see. It's Wednesday, isn't it?
It is Wednesday. Usually when you're on the air, it's a Wednesday.
I almost said a different day. It's kind of gone that way this week. I got to tell you, folks, I'm George Adair. It's been a fun show. We've been doing this for 7 years, and sometimes I lose track of my only day of the week.
It does seem like sometimes you blink, and it's the next week.
It does, the older you get, right?
Right.
So thanks for tuning in. I'm George Adair. We do the show every Wednesday at noon, and you can always catch a podcast at ksro.com. We click on the Ask the Expert series. You'll find my information. Look at the page and find some previous shows that Michelle posts up there with a nice little narrative as to what we've talked about. You know, the focus of the show is really to enlighten people on what's happening with the local and macro economy of real estate and lending. We often have great guests on talking with experts in the industry of lending, and we have people in insurance, we have people that are economists, we have academics. We have all kinds of bright people on the show, so we enjoy talking about these topics of interest to the home and liability or mortgage, as we call it, that people have.
Yeah.
And so I think it's an important conversation that if people can pencil in, they get to hear what's happening and how it affects their world. I've got a great guest today, Paul Heck. He's with RE/MAX Gold. Hey, Paul.
Hey, George.
Hey, you've been on the show a few times. Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, you know, you're always fun to have on the show because you bring a unique set of talents. Of course, you're a well-known local, longtime real estate agent in town, but also a pilot. Tell us, our listeners, more about yourself.
Well, I've been doing both real estate and flying for a very long time. I actually started flying airplanes when I was in high school, and that was a while ago.
Were those crop dusters? No,
but they... It was at Sonoma County Airport, and the high school I went to had an aviation program, and since it was pretty easy for me to get close to the airport at that time, I managed to take some training and get it done. So I was really amazed at how very similar both being a real estate agent and a pilot are.
Yeah, there's definitely a correlation there. And you've also, just so our listeners can look forward to this, at the break we're going to be taking some calls for the Pacific Coast Air Museum passes.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a member of the Pacific Coast Air Museum. We're the guys that put on the air show.
Yep.
And we've got a museum out there that has a very nice collection of airplanes. And we've got we've moved the location to the north end to what we call the Butler Hangar.
Okay.
And we're giving away today passes for people to go into the Air Museum, take a look at all the aircraft. And we have what we call Hot Dog Thursday, first Thursday of the month. And then we have birthday parties, and you can schedule those if you want. So if you've got the kids on a hot summer day and you're looking for something to do, boy, go out to the Air Museum and take a look around. It's great for kids.
Good. So we'll make some sort of squeaky radio game out of this okay. towards the end of the first segment.
I'll get ready.
You get ready, Michelle. I'm going to just throw something at you.
Okay.
So, Paul, you're talking about this correlation that does seem to exist between your business of real estate and what you do as a pilot. What do you tell our listeners more about that theory?
Well, one of the things I noticed is both in being a pilot and a real estate agent, we use a lot of checklists, and it's a total team effort. Both the real estate agent and the pilot don't do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've found out is the ability to be able to manage yourself and manage other people. That is to use the resources around you.
Mm-hmm.
In real estate, we use a lot of the office. We've got a great broker, Ted Horstman, and a great staff by Judy and Yesenia. And then we use transaction coordinators. We use escrow officers and, of course, lenders.
Yep.
We partner up with a lot of repair people and inspection people. That's getting more expensive and important. One of the things I find that also is the appraisers. Appraisers are kind of like... They're kind of like the umpires in a football game. So you have to be able to work with them, and if they know you, I can kind of slant things a little bit my way. And that's a very important part of getting the property done. As you know, George, the lenders call for the appraisal, but we meet the appraisers at the property.
Yeah, so folks understand that after the SAFE Act was passed, there were some specific federally mandated provisions of appraisal management that went into place. So a lender actually can have no dialogue. The loan officer can have no dialogue with the appraiser in ordering the appraisal, scheduling the appraisal, and receiving the appraisal. The loan officer, I will not know who the appraiser is. The real estate agent will always know before I do. Mm-hmm. And we have zero communication. That's because Washington Mutual actually went through a huge lawsuit that, of course, later became get affected Countrywide and others because they were influencing appraisers in the city of, and then I think it was in the state of New York, they determined that about 20 or 25% of all appraisals were fraudulent in some level or another.
Bad.
And so that was just in one market. So you are the one that interacts with an appraiser. I don't think you should say you can push an appraisal a certain way. You're not saying that. But what you're saying is you can give pertinent information to an appraiser that they would have to seek out otherwise. And a lot of appraisers don't seek it out.
No.
And
no.
A lot of them are lazy. I'm going to tell you right now. I
won't say that,
Charlie. I go to battle with appraisers. You can call me if you want. We'll have a nice conversation about it. But I've had appraisers kill deals because they didn't do their job right. Yeah. Not because they were doing it at a malice. They just simply moved on to the next report. And in fairness to appraisers, they don't get paid nearly as much as they used to.
No,
so they find ways to cut corners. So what you're saying is, hey, you go meet an appraiser. What do you do?
At the property.
Yeah, what do you do?
I meet him at the property. I bring the comparable sales.
Yep.
And I have an opportunity to highlight some of the pertinent information about this particular property. And George, we have an advantage on the appraisers because we see the properties that they're using from the inside as comparables. These guys are driving by taking pictures. They got a tough job. But what happens is
it ain't that tough.
Oh, come on. they've got to put their name on this thing. But yeah. One of the things that really comes up now is with the prices, they're a little bit higher, and we're having appraisal problems, at least some of us are. And what is my job is to put the property in the best light at the same time, call it the way it is. Now, I'll give you an example, one really quick example. We have these things called belly button homes. That's basically cookie cutter homes, okay? Some of them are tandem car garages. Some of them are double car garages. Some of them actually had drive-through garages. Now, a drive-through garage can be a very big deal for somebody who wants it. Somebody who doesn't care about it, maybe not so much. But you can take the lawnmower in the backyard. You can take a picnic table through the garage. You can throw a nice party. You can do a lot of things. This one particular house, the appraiser did not want to give it any added value. And I had to fight tooth and nail to get this appraiser to do it. I thought the extra garage door was worth at least $5,000 to $8,000. He didn't see it that way. Mm. So like you, George, I had to go to battle with them.
Yeah. Let's talk about that process for a minute just so that people understand. The appraisal is insulated from the loan officer, but we do rebuttals. And so when I'm going to battle, so to speak, I'm processing what's called a rebuttal where we go through the appraisal management company that has signed out that individual appraiser, and we provide new information that they may have missed. But in all reality, what you're doing is you're asking an appraiser to make a change to his or her report with new data, and they don't have to. And they can kill a deal. However, now I will say, because I have been beating up on the appraisers a little bit here today, I know some really great appraisers.
Yep.
And what we've done at Cross Country Mortgage, for example, is we have a panel of appraisers. So this is the level of influence that I bring and my partners bring at Cross Country. We can choose what appraisers we want on that panel and the ones we don't. And when an appraiser does a bad report, they're gone.
Yeah.
We won't use them again. So they do have that level of checks and balances. And it's great to know when you have an experienced realtor like you, of course, Paul Heck here with RE/MAX Gold, that you can go to an appraiser and say, hey, look, here are some comps. Want to make sure you know about the improvements. Want to make sure you know that this particular improvement has a certain valuation in this local market. It's pretty good stuff.
One of the things that happens to me a lot, just because I've been doing this for so long, is these guys call me, these appraisers call me, and they say, hey, Paul, do you remember that house you sold 6 months ago? What was it like inside? And I talk to them for like 15, 20 minutes. And here they're getting paid for doing a refi appraisal, probably from, cross country or something like that. And what happens is they haven't seen the property, but they have to come up with a value.
Right.
So they call the listing agent on that property or the guy who sold it, and that's me. So here I am helping them out, and hopefully they remember me next time it comes around, and they're appraising one of my transactions.
Well, folks, we're here with Paul Heck. He's with RE/MAX Gold. Been doing this for how many years now, Paul?
I hate to think, but it seems like just yesterday. It's about 40 years.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you it was more than just yesterday.
Yeah.
And you're great friends with Mike Kelly, of course.
Right.
Friends, right?
Right. We grew up together out at Guerneville Elementary School.
Yeah, and Mike just had a really nice memorial service.
He did. Mike was one of the leading realtors. And one of the things with, we're all kind of like a tribe around here. All the realtors, we work together.
Yep.
No matter what flag we fly under, we all help each other out. And Mikey was a big proponent of that. So one of the things I really like to say about Mike is he always said, you know, shy salespeople have skinny kids.
Yeah, now that's framed as a permanent fixture.
Absolutely.
At the Tuesday morning marketing meetings, right,
yeah,
at the MLS?
Absolutely. And if you don't go to those marketing meetings and you're hiring a realtor, you better ask them why.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's for sure. So, folks, in about a minute, I'm going to be posting out a invite for people to call. We're going to be giving out Pacific Coast Air Museum tickets. They're worth $10 each.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, you get to go. I think it's a great place to take your kids. Instead of having to fight the crowds at the air show, which is a great experience in itself, this isn't a time you can go anytime, really,
and
see it. So
it's so much fun. This is a perfect place for families, kids who are interested in how things work,
yep,
and getting a chance to maybe like get up really close with the plane.
And even into a cockpit,
into
right?
Into a cockpit.
Yep. Yep. We have certain days we have open cockpit. Mm-hmm. We can't do it every day.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful about the kids sliding down. But they have some really, really interesting airplanes out there. On Saturdays and Sundays, they do have open cockpit days.
That's great.
That's so cool.
So we're going to go ahead and go with it here in just a minute. As soon as the commercial break starts, we'll start taking calls at 707-636-1350. If you call 707-636-1350, you're going to get two passes to the Pacific Coast Air Museum. We've got just a handful here, so go ahead and start calling in 636-1350. And Paul, we're going to go ahead and give out your information too. If people want to learn more about what they can do to list or buy real estate, how do they reach you?
They call Paul at 707-479-4479.
Yep.
And I'm at RE/MAX Gold right on College Avenue.
Yeah, so, you're right there.
Yeah,
right?
We're right there. So we're user-friendly if you just want to talk. One of the things we do is we're a really good advisor. It doesn't have to be just buy or sell.
Yep.
I really like people to plan ahead.
Well, good. We're going to go to commercial break again. If you want these passes to the Pacific Coast Air Museum, we're going to give you out pairs of passes sponsored here by Paul Heck of RE/MAX Gold to the Pacific Coast Air Museum. Call 636-1350. We're going to commercial break. Get your calls in. We'll be right back.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5, KSRO.
Hey, it's George Adair with Cross Country Mortgage. That's right, my team and I have partnered with Cross Country Mortgage to deliver fast closings, great interest rates, and the largest selection of loan programs available. Did you know that nearly half of all Sonoma County real estate purchases are made with all cash? That's tough for the other half to compete with, but not for our clients. With Cross Country's fast track pre-approval, our buyers can close in as little as 10 days, and with no loan contingency. In some cases, we can even waive an appraisal. Worried about rising interest rates? That's okay, because Cross Country's unique lock-and-shop program lets our pre-approved buyers lock in today's rate while they search for their perfect home. If you're ready to buy or refinance, visit georgeadair.com or call me at 583-8100. Again, go to georgeadair.com or call 583-8100 to begin a great lending experience.
Cross Country Mortgage, NMLS ID 2039, and George Adair, NMLS ID 245370. Equal housing lender, subject to credit approval.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month's supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to 4hims.com/sam. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/sam. That's 4hims.com/sam for your first month for just $5. 4hims.com/sam.
All right. Thanks for joining us. We are in studio with Paul Heck of Remax Gold. Paul's, of course, giving out Pacific Coast Air Museum. We got held up on a couple phone lines. Keep calling. We're ready for more tickets to be handed out. 636-1350. We'll take your calls to give you out a pair of those tickets to the Pacific Coast Air Museum. Paul, tell us why that project's so important to you.
Well, what it is it's an effort by the Pacific Coast Air Museum to keep pilots coming out. There, in the old days, we used to be able to walk out to the airport, walk down and meet people, meet pilots. You can't do that anymore. You've got TSA, Homeland Security.
Yeah.
So this is the gateway in. We've got scout clubs that come in, birthday parties.
Yeah, you involve kids a lot now too, right?
Yeah, and we're doing a lot of things for the community. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we do is the air show. It's going to be September 20th, and this year we're having the Canadian Snowbirds.
Yeah, that's exciting, actually.
That's a big deal.
It's going to be a big show.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Because they're great. Well, let's talk more about real estate. Again, folks, if you're just joining us, I'm George Adair here with Paul Heck. He's at Remax Gold, and Paul and I have been friends for a long time, but he's been doing this a lot longer than me. And you've seen the markets change and shift and go up and down.
Right.
We mentioned that you and Mike Kelly are good friends. You basically got into the same time together in the industry. Of course, Mike Kelly, the late Mike Kelly of our KS Row family as well.
Absolutely.
And so the market has shifted. It's shifted a lot over the last 10 years. You talked to me in the green room about extrinsic factors, that there were things that people couldn't control in their local sort of personal well-being in life, but that there were factors like interest rate changes, foreclosure basically becoming the way it did in 2008 and 2009.
Right.
Tell us about what you're seeing today.
I'm seeing a lot of things happening today. We used to get a lot of people coming from the Bay Area because Santa Rosa was pretty much an insulated area from the rest of the community. Still the North Bay.
Yeah.
But we were the cheap date, and you could afford to buy a house up here. I hate to say it that way, but we were the less expensive place to buy a house.
Call that affordable. And basically, it's part of the whole urban sprawl, suburban sprawl,
right,
that we've seen out in the East Bay into the South Bay from the heart of San Francisco, right? And so, 100 years ago, there was trains taking people up here, and well, now there's a train again, which seems to be doing okay. And so now the market is a more affordable market here for people that can't afford to live in the peninsula or the East Bay, right?
Right. It's a lot more affordable.
So they're bringing cash up here.
They're bringing cash.
And they're retiring up here.
They are, and they're planning ahead. A lot of people are – I actually had been buying houses that they weren't even planning on moving in.
Mm-hmm.
For a long time.
Second home or investment property?
Pretty much investment property.
Yeah.
And they'd rent it out for the next 2 to 5 years. And then according to the tax rules, they could rehab it and then move in and make it their own home.
Yep. And so today we, of course, are starting to see more in the paper. Press Democrat had an article on the front page yesterday about the exodus of people. What do we have, about 3,500 people left?
Yep.
What was that headline there, Paul?
3,300 residents. Yep. And they're moving out now.
Yeah, they're moving. So they're going to Texas, and they're going to Oregon, they're going to Arizona, they're going to Nevada. And
Boise,
they're leaving
Idaho.
For a number of reasons. We don't have to get into all the politicalness of that. But affordability is one of the most important factors, isn't it?
It is, and availability. And what happens is when we start getting higher prices, it's less people can afford houses.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the houses that are available tend to stay on the market longer.
Now, what we're talking about, though, is the majority of people in the community, they're stuck at the same income level.
Right.
But home prices are escaping because more money is coming in from outside the community.
Correct.
So it's not that the local employees of companies here and small business owners here are driving up prices. It's that people are coming in and snatching up these second homes and investment properties, driving up prices. Also, the fires had an impact on the market. That's shifting back towards normalization.
Right. And a normal market is what we call, 4 to 6 months on the market?
Right. So that means is if every house was on the market today, it would take 4 to 6 months to clear out that inventory.
That would be a normal market. Now, in the past, it's been probably less than 2 months. I think on your schedule there.
I saw 1.5 months, a year ago?
A year ago. And now it's, I think, 2.6 months.
So some of the indicators that show us what kind of market we're in would be how long homes are sitting on the market and how long they take to sell. I see here you gave me some data that in March 2019, 68 days is down from a peak of 87 within the last year. 87 days in January all the way down to 68 days in March.
Yep.
That's a tremendous drop.
It is.
There's a surging demand.
There is, and it's a spring market, but it's a little bit of a late spring.
Yeah.
Usually
the rain.
Yeah.
Like I say, people don't want to trudge through houses with muddy boots, and the sellers don't want to put them on the market.
No. And usually our spring market starts about the end of February. So it's late this year.
And looking at some of this other data where we've had the amount of houses for sale versus the ones sold, the inventory really did tighten up this December and January and February. Man, it was low inventory.
Yeah, very low.
So
yeah.
When people come to you and they say, hey, I think the housing market's going to crash, do you point to these numbers and say, the data doesn't support that?
Well, I ask them when. It's going to change, but I mean, it's like saying, you know, someday that airplane may crash. Well, that's not really a lot of help.
Yeah.
But the issue is that things are always changing, and that's what we call the definition of experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that something's going to be changing and you can look ahead, you can kind of plan a little bit for that, and that'll make it a little bit softer landing.
But let's talk about that planning ahead. You know, I saw a friend of mine, a member of the business community here, was very proud of some achievements he'd had in his credit world, but he said he was going to wait until the next crash to buy a house. Are you in that camp? Do people overplan, is there an opportunity cost by waiting?
I think that's paralysis by analysis.
Yep.
I really do. I think, you know, it's not so much what the market's doing. It's what's right for your family. And that's why I suggest call your local real estate agent. Have them be an advisor for you.
Yep.
If they call people like me, I'm not going to sell the house out from under you. You know, basically what I want to do is sit down with you and find out what works for you. Make a plan.
The plan is a big part of it. And you mentioned earlier that you're talking about the correlation between being a pilot and all the supporting services and people that help you fly your plane, and also being a real estate agent. You're really quarterbacking the transaction. So it takes a good team, doesn't it?
And it really takes a good plan. Yeah.
So that starts often with getting pre-approved. Tell us about the value of pre-approval in the relationship to your clients.
Well, what happens is when we get somebody walking in the office, first thing I ask them is, have you got any money? And they usually get offended by that. But, you know, they usually say yes or something like that. And
yeah.
I usually tell them, well, you need to go get some more. So let's go get you pre-approved, because I can't do much with good intentions.
Yeah, I had a lady that was missing a few. She was a couple tools short in her tool belt. And she came in with her publisher clearinghouse mailer
yeah.
and said
wow.
she had just won $10 million or some crazy number. Felt terrible for her. Yeah. So she literally thought she had won $10 million. Yeah. Anyway, so most people don't come in with that.
Most people don't come in with that. Most people have somebody they think is a lender, but really isn't. I mean, in the old days, George, you know, we're blessed right now to have you guys and mortgage brokers. In the old days, we didn't have anything other than savings and loans and banks with bad attitudes.
Yeah.
There was just no help.
You had the corner desk loan officer who was really finite in what he was going to offer you.
Right. Right.
And today, the world has changed, hasn't it?
It has. And people can get information, but they may not be able to get help online. So you need to talk to another person who's got this experience that can guide you.
And what role do you think the internet has in helping people in a positive way to get into the housing market or housing purchases?
I think it can teach people to ask the right questions.
Uh-huh.
That's what I think it's good for.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it gives you information or answers, but I think you can ask the questions.
So you don't see Redfin or Zillow as a crash course in becoming a real estate agent. It just helps
you
get some data.
Not a bit. You know, everybody talks about experience, and you know, we in the old days, we've had insurance companies try and be real estate companies. We've had brokerage companies like Merrill Lynch buy a whole real estate office, and they failed,
mm-hmm.
sold it to Prudential.
Yep.
That didn't work. You know, Prudential had agents, they had insurance agents, but they thought they could manage real estate agents. It didn't work.
Well, you end up with these companies making an effort to over-digitize a process. I think we saw this even in 2000 with the dot-com bomb that occurred, where you had, you know, anything dot-coms was supposedly better than brick and mortar. And we proved that that just wasn't the case, that brick and mortar, but also human contact and real relationships to a consumer has its place, doesn't it?
It really does. And it's a situation where if you can sit down with somebody that's got the experience and can look ahead a little bit, and, you know, maybe we don't have all the answers, but we can say, you know, I've got this great CPA over here, Charlie Mayfield. He's got a master's degree in taxation. You should go talk to him.
Right.
You should go talk to a financial planner.
Right.
You should go talk to a lender and get pre-approved. Let's get this going here. I'll quarterback your team for you, but I'll put you ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you put together an advisory team. I call myself a mortgage advisor today. I actually don't even call myself a loan officer. I'm a mortgage advisor. You know, you're a real estate advisor. Yes, you're an agent, but your role is to have a fiduciary relationship between the person that you're helping and what they're seeking to do, what their goal is, right?
Absolutely.
And so when you do that, what are some of the key questions and not questions, what are some of the key pieces of advice that you like to give people for the first time trying to buy a house?
Well, I like to talk with them for a while and have them tell me how long they've owned the house, what they plan on doing in the future. Are they planning on retiring anytime soon?
Yeah.
Do they have children that need to go to college? Are they planning on doing some of that? What are their hobbies?
So you like to get to know them and really
yeah.
understand. Because
yeah.
it's funny, when you go on Zillow and Redfin, they don't ask any of those questions.
Yeah. I want to know what I can be of more help to them.
Yeah.
And then if they've got some high debt or something like that, let's talk to somebody who can help them simplify it.
So there's more to the real estate process, folks, than just going online, finding something with some nice pictures and reading the description and finding out some data. There's actually an ability to apply your goals, and the process that you go through to find the right house is very intricate and it's very precise, and you've got to have a winning team. Paul Heck's going to help lead that team. He's with RE/MAX Gold. How do people get a hold of you?
Call me at 707-479-4479 or just to email me, paulheck.com. You know, I answer my own phone, and my wife and I, Maggie, she helps me with the emails, but we'll be glad to get back to you and set up a time if you just want to chat on the phone.
See, it takes a team effort even to manage the emails. You get
yes.
so many of them.
Yeah.
I love it. Folks, it's been a great time talking with you. I guess we gave out all those tickets.
We
That's
did.
Awesome.
Congratulations to Paul, Judy, Deanna, Jerry, and Ann.
Awesome.
All of them have pairs of tickets.
And thank you to them for listening to
yes.
our show. We appreciate that very much. Folks, if you missed the show or you missed parts of it, you can always go to ksro.com and check it out. And please do visit my website, georgiadare.com, where you can learn more about how to get pre-approved. We've got people closing their loans in 10 days, Paul. Did you know that? 10 days?
10 days?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't done one of those yet.
Yeah, much. You don't even need a loan contingency. So if you want to learn more about that, go to georgiadare.com. That's georgiadare.com. We appreciate our listeners. Thank you for joining us today. Enjoy this nice sunny weather. I'm sure Paul will be up above you in the sky, so look for him. And we'll be back next Wednesday, folks. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me, George.